Testing.
What up, G?
All right.
How are you? You have a lot of dye.
Dye?
Dice.
Oh, dice. I got a whole bunch of dice upstairs.
There's a die there.
Well, you know. I got two die down here. Oh,
Trisal Street.
Lou.
Jamie Lou.
The podcast that comes out occasionally
that's
when we figure
my
it out.
My fault.
Yeah, Jamie's busy. I'm not so busy. But dice. You know I have dice?
Andrew, like Andrew Dice Clay.
Yeah, hey! She needed the money!
Oh, hickory dickory dock!
I started playing a while ago. I have the dice down here, so it may shock people. It may shock you, Jamie.
Okay.
I play Dungeons and Dragons.
No way.
Every now and again.
Super hot.
It is. Someone had recommended a game called Thousand Year Old Vampire.
Mm-hmm.
And
was this person a nerd?
Not a really cool person.
Okay.
I don't even remember. I think it was a YouTube channel about gaming. So,
gay gaming.
It'd be better if it was. It'd make it cooler.
Probably.
A gentleman named Professor Dungeon Master.
Oh, God. Really?
That's his nickname. He's like a professor and stuff. He has a really good channel. He, anything I say at this point is going to make it worse, not better.
It's okay. We're not here
unless
to judge.
Like, he deals crack. No. So, he recommended this game on his channel. It's called Thousand Year Old Vampire. And basically, it's largely a series of writing prompts.
Mm-hmm.
And you roll dice, and you start out, you're a vampire at some point in the past. And as you roll, you progress through time, and certain things can happen. Like, you lose, like, as you get older, you lose parts of your memory and shit like that. And it's kind of depressing, but it was an interesting activity to do, like, writing prompts.
Oh, that's interesting.
So, but you roll two die, and that tells you how far to go forward and back, and to what prompt.
Ooh. Sexy.
It is. It's a thousand-year-old vampire.
See, all the ladies are flocking over to play some thousand.
It is. They're like, it's a solo game, Jamie.
Mm.
I'd be like, no, Jennifer Jason Leigh, you cannot
walk. No, Anna Kournikova.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. No, Joan Baez. I don't know. Samantha Fox, of course, is the go-to 80s.
I was listening to a podcast. I listened to Toby Morris's still.
Mm-hmm.
Then he had Mark Hoppus on from Blink 182.
Yeah.
At one point in time, Alyssa Milano.
Yeah.
Tried to go on a, I don't know if she tried to go on a date with him, but she like was trying to give them their phone number, and he also went on a date with Melissa Joan Hart.
Oh.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yeah, I know exactly who. Yeah.
He said it was like okay, but he wasn't like, he just like wasn't into it. Like he kind of like knew his wife, future wife or whatever, and was like more into her.
I wonder if that throws going out with someone who's like.
So
a Disney person?
My friend Sharon, she was friends with a guy that was, like, trying to become an actor, and he, like, did some bit work on some soaps and stuff,
mm-hmm.
soap operas, and he went on a date with Melissa Joan Hart as well, and said it was, she was, like, not that great.
Yeah.
Like, she wasn't an asshole, but it was just really, like, weird,
mm-hmm.
kind of forced.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Much like her Christmas movies.
I like Melissa Joan Hart.
I do, too. That's her big thing now, I think.
Christmas movies?
And I think she produces like movies like that.
Makes sense. I liked that last show she was on with Joey Lawrence.
I don't know the show.
Oh, I forget what it was called. It was good. I think
like
it was Melissa and Joey, actually.
Oh,
it was called.
Right.
Far Stretch.
I do like Sabrina and the totally real and not fake cat
Salem. I get confused all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, is that the real one that's talking?
I was like, I don't understand.
I don't get it.
He's holding really still.
So what's new? I haven't talked to you in a little bit.
Yeah, not much, as it turns out. I've been trying to figure out where I want to go on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I have...
You should go to Thailand.
No.
I heard it's beautiful, though.
Sure, like, I'm going for the culture. So you could never go to Thailand, because people would always think that, even if it was like, I just want to see some elephants.
Yeah, why not?
I just want to drink some snake blood.
You want to see some trunks?
No.
Some big, long trunk,
yeah,
elephant trunks?
No. I looked into going to Jersey Isle. It's one of the Channel Islands.
Tell me about that. Yep.
But I don't know.
You should go to Portugal.
I'm not allowed.
What time of year you want to go?
So I have two dates. I got like July and then I have October.
Okay.
And I want to go, I might go to Freiburg, Germany in October.
Mm.
Freiburg.
For like Oktoberfest type shit.
I want to hike the Black Forest and stuff like that.
You know
it's in Freiburg.
What?
The conservatory they filmed Suspiria in.
Oh, shit.
There's a whole bunch of stuff, but that's one of the attractions.
That's pretty cool.
But I don't know. I bought a power washer.
Nice.
And nothing more satisfying than power washing something. Nothing more disturbing the next morning when you wake up and you feel nothing but pain from your wrists to your elbows and both hands.
Because are you like Painbot? I feel nothing but pain.
Yes.
Teen Titans.
A. Rudolph Linkler.
Pain.
Yeah, I will emancipate you from your inferior genes. But that's about it for me. It's been kind of not slow. Like, work has been taking a toll.
Can't get rid of this cough.
Yeah. Captain Cough. Trips.
Yeah, I know.
Right? What about you, Jamie? What's new with you, Pikachu?
Nothing much. Had my birthday. Did we record? I think we recorded after my birthday, did we?
I think it was right before.
Really? God,
it's been a while.
I know it's been about a month.
Well, I gave Jamie...
Well, it's like I work every other month. Well, or every other weekend.
So that's the biggest thing is Jamie works like weekends. And the other thing that delays this podcast coming out is a lot of times during the week, I don't want to look at a computer after looking at a computer for 9 to 10 hours.
No, I hear you.
I've been lazy. I mean, we both, but I like doing this podcast.
I think I did. Maybe I went down the shore a couple more times. I went around my.
You were gonna go. Yeah, I think we were gonna record at one point sooner, and you were like, I think I'll go to the shore.
Yeah, I went to the shore before my birthday, and then
yeah,
another time.
Yeah, and another time. Wink, wink.
My Victor is in the background.
Yes.
Playing. What did you hear?
Nothing.
Huh? Portugal.
Portugal. I'm a cold weather. I need a nice warm country like Germany.
Yes.
Noted for their hospitality and loving people.
I'm trying to think what else. Oh, I went to the. Did I tell you I went to the Modern Museum for the first time?
Oh, no. How'd you like it? I've been there. It's been years.
It was okay. You're right. It's like not a whole lot to see. It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
I liked all the skulls. It's definitely a something to see.
I think the thing they do now is when I went, I think it was $5 donation.
It's like $20 now, which isn't bad. And
it was
a museum.
It was funny because I went with someone whose last name just happened to be Mutter.
Really?
Yeah. And they asked him if he was related.
Was he like, yes?
I don't remember. But now I think you do. You can get like a split ticket. You can see like UPenn has their Egyptian Museum. Used to be able to. Victor's here and he's dancing in the background.
Dancing in the moonlight.
Which translates really good to a podcast.
Yeah, no one sees that. And what else? Talk about.
I got like music-y stuff. Yeah, Jamie has like The Life of Riley.
Yeah,
I mean most of my stuff would be like the entertainment portion.
Oh, I could talk about a movie later. I saw a movie. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Listen to some tunes.
Most deaf. Work has been work.
Yeah.
Been a little nutty. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I'm trying to think of anything like new. Just been hanging in Delaware.
Yeah.
About it.
Yep.
About it.
Tax-free shopping.
Yeah. Right? Hanging out in Wilmington.
Yep.
Riverfront. It's a nice area. Yeah. They've like, kind of reminds me, like, so it goes like right over, like right by the Brandywine River. There's like a couple restaurants.
Yeah.
There's like a minor league baseball team. It's nice now.
I'm sure.
That way. It's pretty cool. I like it.
Yeah. So I actually need to get a drink real quick.
Oh.
I'll be back in a second.
Glug, glug.
We're back mainly because I actually had water.
I know. He's like, oh, I had my grandma water here.
Yes. It's too, my grandparents.
What about them?
They're dead.
Yeah, mine too.
But anyway, that's not the side point. That's not the story.
You just start crying.
That's the rest of the podcast.
Yeah, it's you sobbing.
45 minutes later. No, so this is one of those stories. And I think this is like common, like a people of that generation, this belief. They used to go to a place and get well water all the time.
Yeah,
that's not
my
the unusual
parents
part.
Did too.
That's not the unusual part.
Okay.
So what they would do is, they put it in the refrigerator, but they wouldn't let you drink cold water. They'd have to mix it with another thing of water they kept that was room temperature because they didn't want to shock your system. And
I've never heard of that.
Well, both my brothers talk about just going over and like mowing their lawn when they were older, mm-hmm. and just dying of thirst and just seeing like how delicious that cold water would be, seeing them ruin it. They would also bring home cake, mm-hmm. like from weddings and stuff, because when you get like, the reason you retire when you're old, because you spend every weekend going to weddings. And they would get it and they'd be like, oh, we got cake. You want some cake? And we'd be like, yeah. And they bring out this wedding cake that they didn't eat. And then they, and right in front of you, scrape off all the frosting because the frosting's bad for you.
Well, frosting's gross. I don't like frosting.
You're weird.
I'm not weird. You're weird.
Your grandma.
I am a grandma.
Grandma Frost. Yes. Ooh, that's like a new X-Men comic.
Grandma, it's, yeah, Emma Frost and her grandbaby.
I still got it.
What? Okay.
Once you have gray, you'll never
go gay.
My hip! My hip.
Victor, come on. Okay. Well, I guess we should maybe talk about some music.
Yes, some easy music. I have two, you have one.
Yes.
All right. So, I'm going to talk about Mount Joy.
Yes. Not to be confused with Valley Forge's Mount Joy.
Although it's named after that.
Is it?
Yeah, so Mount Joy.
Is it really?
Yeah, 100%. So,
I didn't know they were from Philly. Okay.
So, Mount Joy is an indie folk rock band. They're out of LA with Philly connections. Mm-hmm. So, Matt Quinn and Sam Cooper, who were like two of the founders of the band.
When did they graduate?
I don't know, but I think the band formed in 2016.
Okay, you said they went...
So they went to Conestoga High, they met there, and apparently they independently moved to LA and met there again.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Or hooked up with each other, and they started to record albums.
They have babies?
They did, they had babies. And then the babies they made play in a band,
okay.
Which is illegal, because it's child labor laws.
Oh, okay.
So they would just hit them. And they would glue beards to them. And like, how could that be a baby? It's old. It has Benjamin Button disease.
Mount Joy. I was kidding when I said that.
Oh, yeah. And it's named after Mount Joy because of Mount Joy in Valley Forge.
That's kind
of
cool.
And this album, it might be their fifth album, Hope We Have Fun. And it came out May 30th. And this was recommended to me by a friend at work.
Mm-hmm.
We shall call RKS. Okay. After Rainbow Kitten Surprise, another band that is somewhat reminiscent of Mount Joy and very good. The opener is More Meets More. This is like a straight up country jamboree song complete with a banjo.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to it, it reminds me a lot rhythmically. The beginning of, you know, you can't always get what you want the way it
felt. I can see that.
You know,
yeah.
Do, my fiction. If you ever saw the Rock and Roll Circus live version of that,
no.
It's like this, it doesn't matter. It's really good though. Anyway, it does explode and kind of rock out at the end.
Mm-hmm.
The second song, which is the first song I listened to, which is what hooked me on this album, is Coyote.
Yes.
And it's, I said, if All Them Witches did a Dandy Warhol's cover, it has this light psychedelic. Actually, it has, the way the guitar kind of slides, it's like the beginning of Holiday in Cambodia.
I can see that, yeah.
Trippy with this big fat bass trucking along, very Morrison-esque in its lyrics. Makes you want to head out to the high desert and just vanish. Ride the snake to the ancient lake. Coyote, first I was like, we could be like coyotes, you know, just free, but it might actually be about turning into coyotes for all I know. I don't know. But it is a great song. A lot of the songs in here are basically road songs.
I can see that, yeah.
Of some sort. In the middle is kind of this slow jam 70s rock song. Mellow. It's nice. The funnest song in the album.
Most fun.
The most fun. The most funnestester is Pink Lady.
I like that a lot, too.
It's really funky.
It's a Pink Lady in a red Corvette or Pink Lady in a red something.
Motorcycle.
Yeah.
Pink Lady. And it's like, it's such a fucking sunk song. It occurred to me it's like something Beck would do early on.
I can see that, yeah.
And it's like you pack up the Astro Bus and just head out on the Magical Mystery Tour. It's great. Pink Lady.
Yeah, it's a cool song. Like your pink
and
shirt.
And Gray Emma Frost. By the pink shirt.
You have a pink shirt on.
It's not, it's burgundy. Uh-huh. It's not pink.
Okay.
It's not even close to pink.
Okay. God, so it's a little...
Shut up.
We celebrating Pride today?
Hey, it is Pride Month. God loves weirdos. Mm-hmm. This catchy song, it's upbeat, it's empowering. It's about two crazy kids.
Two crazy kids. You know, like, kids.
Two other crazy kids, Mickey and Mallory Knox.
Yes.
Just going around, just having fun. God loves weirdos. Scared I'm Gonna Fuck You Up is basically, I feel like, the same couple 3 weeks later into the road trip.
100%.
I like the song, but I don't think I've ever heard a song where the cymbal is the primary instrument.
Yeah, you're right.
It kind of almost overpowered.
I like this song a lot. There's just something about it that I was like...
I mean, I was afraid it was... The Scared I'm Gonna Fuck You Up is I'm scared that being with you emotionally is gonna fuck you up. Not like, I'm scared I'm gonna lose control and just go pop, 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 pop. Which is what I thought. I was like, do I want to listen to this one? Lucy is actually kind of sad.
I like that song.
So I'm remembering it like a friend who died. I think, yeah, if you read the lyrics, because it started like this woman is like
Lucy. I listened to the whole album in the car.
It's very, you know, fun, like, influential, spontaneous, mm-hmm. and it seemed like she died. So The Last Dance, and that's why he's so sad. It kind of comes across with like a bit like John Cougar Mellencamp vibes.
I never picked up on that, but it makes sense.
A little bit, not a lot. Wild and Rotten, another straight-up country song. Highway Queen, kind of kicks. I like it. It reminds me a little bit too much of Bruce Springsteen, though. So the lyrics, which are... Sometimes they do get into that mumbly... That's my totally...
Your Bruce Springsteen.
My Bruce Springsteen expression. And this is another one of those on-the-road songs. I think the Highway Queen is about to split. So it actually might be the third in a progression of the trilogy.
Of Gobbles. Yeah, Gobbles,
Scared I'm Gonna Fuck You. Actually, the quadrilogy, because I think Coyotes.
I could see that.
Although Coyotes is much more drug and alcohol fueled.
Well, maybe that's how he finds the weirdo. Yeah.
And then Hope We Have Fun is this kind of like very sweet ballad. It's about looking forward to a new relationship. You know, Hope We Have Fun. And really good. I like it. This is not like what the kind of music I normally listen to.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I was like, oh, but I actually really enjoyed it.
No, someone had thrown it out to me. They usually make good suggestions. So I was like, oh.
Lou and I were talking about before we started the podcast, and I was like, I was trying to put my finger on who it sounds like, and I was like, maybe All Them Witches, and we're like, ah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. The now defunct.
Not all of them, witches. But I think they're touring.
I don't know what happened.
Well, I know the drummer quit. And it's just the singer / guitar. Yeah, it got weird. I don't know if he started. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll check neither.
Back in on it sometime.
But yeah, I liked it. Yeah. I think it's even more interesting now that it was like Mount Joy.
Yeah, yeah.
I ran on Mount Joy.
Me too. I haven't been there in a couple of years.
Me neither.
Been
a minute.
Now I live farther away.
Been a minute.
But what do you got, Jamie? What do you got? What do you got for me?
So I have a band called Teen Mortgage. Devil Ultrasonic Dream came out on April 11th.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what label. They're out of Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
They became a band, I believe, in 2017. And they're kind of East Coast hardcore meets garage / surf sleaze. So they've had like two EPs out in 2019. They had an EP. Their EP debut was Life / Death. And then in 2021, their EP Smoked came out. So it's only two guys.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. James Guile, who is the guitarist and vocalist, and Ed Berkanis was on the drums. So I was reading about them, and it seemed like James might have moved to Liverpool for a while and met up with Ed, or Ed moved, like, I don't know. There's like, there's some Liverpool influence. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I've heard this album, and I was like, holy shit, I just really liked it. It reminds me of kind of Fiddler, just straight up punk, a little bit of The Hives at times, but I think more of a punk influence. So the first song is Devil Ultrasonic Dream. There's only so much I can say about every one of these songs.
Oh, by the way, totally misled me to what the album's going to sound like when it's like that.
Yeah, it's just like kind of old school punk, but it's fun to
I thought it was
going to
be like this deathy metal. Anyway, go ahead. I really liked it, but go ahead.
So like the first song, straight up catchy sing-song chorus punk. It has a little Hives feel mixed in. Ride is a little more fuzzy. It has some more like garage moving through it. It kind of, to me, kind of starts off more like garage punk and then kind of moves towards just like straight punk, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yes, rip more on the hardcore punk side. Party is my favorite song. Love this song, catchy as fuck. The lyrics are actually anti-war and very clever. So I'm gonna read the. I had no idea because you can't. They're the vocals are very muffled and kind of hard to listen to, and I was actually quite impressed by the lyrics. I don't want to be a part of the war machine. They got me forced to work, but I'm born a party. Mm. Born a party. But, like, hearing that song, I'm like, I had no idea that's what they were talking about. So kind of clever. Possess, same kind of feel. Like, pretty much after Party, I'm, like, really hooked on this album. Possess is really good. Personal Hell's not bad. Slower, more melodic. Disappear, same way. Box is more melodic. And then it ends on I Don't Want to Know, last song, more melodic. Kind of the most different of the album. Kind of wonder what direction they're going to go afterwards. But I'm like, so they're touring with the Descendants. They're actually playing the Queen in Wilmington in August. I'm like half tempted to maybe check them out. I don't know how much tickets are though. But I just thought this was fantastic. It reminded me of Fiddler a little bit, the Hives. I don't know. I've just been listening to it like nonstop. I just think it's a fun summer type of album that kind of just keeps that punk rock spirit alive to a point. I don't know. I really like it. There's not too many like new punk bands like straight up like that genre that I've been like, holy shit. And I've been really into these guys.
Yeah.
Good shit.
Nice.
So check out Teen Mortgage. Good stuff.
And really check out Deep Sea Diver. Ooh. So I did way back in February, I touched on this band. And we've talked about Deep Sea Diver before.
Did you do the single Billboard Heart or something like that?
No, I'll explain why. You'll get it.
Okay.
Deep Sea Diver, Seattle Zone.
Eve.
Billboard Heart is the album. This came out like February 28th. It's their fourth LP. First one off Sub Pop.
Oh, interesting. I know we talked about them not that
we
long ago.
We did. They came out around the same time Sharon Van Etten and The Attachment Theory came out. And there's a lot of similarities between the albums, so I reviewed that album and touched on this one.
Yeah.
And now we're going to kind of do the opposite.
Okay.
Because at least superficially, there's similarity with the type of albums they are that, like, I think I received them both within a day of each other. And I was kind of listening back and forth. A couple times I got confused as to which album I was listening to.
Okay.
And basically, both albums are very complex and layered sonically. They're both very collaborative albums. They have a lot of new wave inspiration. But because they're both synth heavy bands, that's where, you know, like the second you bring in a synth, especially like kind of a more fakey synth, it's new wave. And then, you know, there's certain other things, new wave. That is sort of where the similarities end. The primary difference, at least initially, is Deep Sea Diver is and never shall be a very guitar driven band.
I could see that. Yeah.
Where Sharon Van Etten is a singer songwriter, and I'm a big SVE fan. This album speaks more to my Billboard heart.
Ooh, look at that!
You know, hallmarks of like Deep Sea Diver that describe most of the songs is a very fuzzy, very grindy guitar, a lot of production. A lot of synth. It's like Deep Sea Diver is like an omelet band, and I shall explain.
I think, like I told you, I think we talked about it last time. They've been out since like 2010 at least, right?
Yeah.
And I think they were heavily played on XMU at one point in time, and I always liked them. But yeah, they kind of like came out during that chill wave.
Yeah.
Like that was right around that time, and then kind of progressed. Like I don't know. I understand the omelet type thing going on. Yeah.
The last album, which I did kind of review a couple years ago, Impossible Weight, we talked about it.
Yes.
It's a lot like this album, and that album's fucking amazing. It's a band, more so than possibly any other band I've listened to that I can think of. Every single instrument is the single most important instrument in every song.
I can see that.
The other thing I said before, I'll say again, I have never seen a band that is more effective in using volume changes to do that to create effect.
Okay, yeah.
And I think like Jessica Dobson, I think, does or did a lot of the engineering and had to learn, like, I think, all that stuff. Peter Manson, I think his name is.
Is he Shirley's brother?
Shirley's brother. he's the drummer, and also they're married.
Oh, huh.
And they collaborate a lot.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So, I'm not going to talk about all the songs just because it's a lot.
I listened to the whole album today. Yeah. I want to say I listened to Billboard Heart. I think when you originally were going to review it, I think there wasn't that many out. And
probably
I only listened to maybe three of the songs.
I think there are only a couple of singles. That would be one of them. So, So Billboard Heart, the title track, is like this melancholy song. It's about either love or having the courage to be in a relationship, or possibly the courage to give up on a relationship and heal yourself. It's about doing something to move towards the future, whatever that may be. There's this nice little solo at the end. There's like a shimmery guitar. It's good. It's a nice little like table setter.
Yeah, I like it. I liked it a lot.
Where this album kind of suffers is the next two songs are the bangiest bangers on the album.
What Do I Know? I fucking love.
What Do I Know? I cannot get enough of. Yeah, it's really good. What Do I Know? Is very much, it's like a, there's too much shit in my head.
Yes.
The album, there's this very strong rhythm that kind of throws through the whole song with everything else serving to accent. It's amazing. There's like a whole bunch of like guitar and synthy shit before the chorus. There's a lot of energy to this song.
Agreed.
And I feel like it vibrates. And then there's like the bridge is very exuberant. The do 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 do. It just, yeah, I'm like, I just made a screamy sound. Yeah, I cannot get enough of
this. Like he was coming.
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
When they came.
I'll send
you don't want to see it. No, we don't want to see it.
Patreon for $5 a month. But the song's really good. What do I...
No, it's a really good song. I listened to it twice.
Yeah, it's really fun. Emergency is kind of like a bit of the flip side of that coin.
Yeah, I'm trying to like remember all the songs.
I like Emergency a lot, too.
It's good.
It's like less optimistic, much more anxiety. It's very busy with all these layers. It opens up with an ugly metallic riff that totally works, but it's so dissident. It
kind of
it puts you off kilter for the song. It's almost grating, but it really makes it. There's this exploding guitar just screaming, absolutely screaming atonally in the background. Machine gun production. It's like your heart's going to explode. It's about frustration. Now, there's an origin story to this album.
Okay.
And I think, to some extent, all the songs are about this, the thing, I'm going to say. Or largely about, this album's also about introspection. But Emergency, I think, largely is addressing this event. So, Deep Sea Diver was getting ready to record this album.
Mm-hmm.
And they had played a whole bunch of shows, like pre-shows in, like, Seattle. Then drove to L.A. to start recording.
Mm-hmm.
And it just nothing worked. Like, they just could not get it together. Jessica Dobson had a little nervous breakdown. They drove back to Seattle, and she's like, I think the band's done. I don't know. So she had this crisis where she kind of lost herself. And then I think eventually they, the band met with a new producer who helped them, and they got back. I think one of the guys does, like, King Giz and all that shit.
Oh, okay.
But basically, it's about, like, they went to record this album that they were really certain of, and it was DOA, and they're like, we might have to scrap everything we've done so far.
Interesting.
So, the song is about frustration, as I said, origin story. There's this, like, break where the guitar just kind of hovers, like an anxiety, like, stricken hummingbird. And then it really kicks into high gear. You can just imagine, like, someone slapping themselves, looking in a mirror, where it's like, take a long, hard look at yourself. It is... I like this. These two songs I love. I could just, like, I have my Deep Sea Diver banger list on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
And both these songs are on there. It's like a pump list.
Mm.
Yeah, it's great. Shovel?
I actually really like Shovel.
I really like Shovel. I think Shovel is about digging a grave. Just straight up digging a grave to bury someone in. This is the most new wave of the songs.
Yeah, I was like, what is this? With the I'm like, Mount Everest. I didn't like it at first, and then I'm like... This went dark, and I'm like, I kind of like
it. It had to grow on me, too. But I was like, wow. Yeah, Shovel. It's like, when he's like, I have a shovel, it's pointed at, like, the tip. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm reading the lyrics. I'm like, no, this is probably almost definitely about what it says it is. See in the Dark.
Mm-hmm.
This is the last song I'm going to actually talk. Cool. Like, there are others that are good. Like, they're lighter. Like, I think, like.
I thought the whole album was good.
The whole album was really good. I was kind of running out of time. To actually write this shit down.
Well, we kind of just...
Well, not this. I got derailed by something, and I'll talk about it too when we review it.
Okay.
See in the Dark is the second to last song in the album. It's almost surfy at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second verse, it kind of changes stylistically, and leaves, like, a bit more space for the lyrics and the instrumentation for kind of fills in again. It gives you this really running start before the coda where it actually shreds.
Yeah.
It kind of hammers down on the notes. It's sort of the quintessential denouement song. It just sort of brings every theme, all the themes of uncertainty together as to, this is our resolution. I know how we're going forward.
Yeah.
See in the dark. Mm. And it's great. It's great.
Yeah, it's a really good album.
And it's, I think the final song is Happiness is a Given, which is the perfect like wind down song. Just, you know, nothing is certain, but you have to hope. So this is a really good album.
I might buy it on vinyl, or if I could find it in a record shop.
Yeah.
What do you need? His ID? Then come here.
Victor's buying Russian Bitcoin on my phone, I think. You know, half the time...
You want to say hello?
You want to say hi to the people on TV Land or Songland?
Hey, my name's Victor!
Not me.
I'm almost 11!
That's not me.
And...
Ow.
I didn't even do it.
I like poopies.
I pooped my pants.
Hi.
Aww.
I sit down in your seat.
No, wait till we're done.
For a second.
In 10 minutes. Come on.
Yeah.
Hi,
Victor. See you in a bit. It's really great. It's
I really like it.
I had a couple other weird music things.
Go for it.
For some reason, I spent 3 days fixated on Typo Negative.
Really?
I don't know what
I
it was.
I never really listened to them.
I didn't too. This decent. They have some of my girlfriend's girlfriend. like I was never big in them before. Like I remember they did. So I think they covered Cinnamon Girl.
Mm.
And then Neil Young was like, I like their cover. I'm Neil Young.
I can't stand Neil Young.
And cocaine.
I don't like him.
Remember when I had a cocaine booger? And everyone talks about it. Yeah, I don't know. Because I was, because I was trying to, like, sort of listening to Peter Murphy's new album. And that made me think of, like, the Bauhaus. And that made me think of Typo Negative for some reason. I listened to Primus and Pulsifer. Came out with a song, Little Lord Fentanyl. And I do like the song. And I'm like, do I like Primus? I do not like Primus.
I don't like Primus.
I listened to a whole bunch of Primus.
Yeah, it's
like, no, I really don't like Primus. And of course, yesterday, the new Garbage album came out. I listened to it once. I need to sit down and actually listen to it.
What do you think?
I don't know. I mean,
really?
Let me tell you about the fatal... I mean... I legitimately have to listen to it. So I listened to it once. I have to go back and listen to it again and pay attention. Because I was listening to it while I was working.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not even like, I don't know. Because the first song, There Is No Future in Optimism.
Okay.
Like, I liked, but I had to listen to it like 2 times before I liked it. Up to the lead up to this album, I was like, I'm going to listen to all my garbage on vinyl.
Okay.
I listened to... I have, like, the 20th anniversary box set of the first one, which has all the B-sides. Oh, by the way, all the B-sides instantly put me back in the fucking comic store.
Oh, 100%.
Like, I was in a weird fucking mood.
It's not a good headspace.
It was, yeah, it was, 100%.
It's really not.
It was really a bad place.
It's really a bad place.
I was like, I really made a
mistake.
Like,
I hear Deadwood, and I'm like, I want to kind of...
Oh, no, 100%. 100%. Like, I was like, I should put this in a vault.
Yes.
And then, and this is what hurts New Garbage.
Okay.
Through no fault of New Garbage's. I listened to version 2.0.
So good.
Now what do you think of 2.0?
It is my favorite Garbage album.
So, here's what I will tell you.
Okay.
It is my favorite Garbage album. It is one of my favorite albums of all time.
Me too.
No matter how good you think it is, when you listen to it, it's 8 times fucking better. I was like...
I know.
I was like,
I listen to it
yeah.
regularly.
I ration it out. Nothing can compete against immediately listening to 2.0. I mean, very few things. Like...
My ranking's 2.0.
Yeah.
That's, like, tough. I think we did this ranking before.
I don't know if we did.
Self-titled or, Where's Sex Is Not the Enemy and Boys Wanna Fight. That was really good.
Bleed Like Me. But we should do this another time, because I have to look.
Yeah.
Especially after listening to one, because I think a couple of them...
Speaking of old, like, 90s bands.
Yeah.
I don't think I talked about this on the last podcast. Green Day. Their song Dilemma,
yeah.
I'm obsessed with. I can't. It reminds me of old school Green Day.
Uh-huh.
Not like Dookie, but a little bit after that. But it's more or less him relapsing and going back into like rehab.
Oh, really?
And just how he's just hates himself and just like he's just messed up.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I just been obsessively listening to that. Yeah. They had a new album out, and I like listened to some of the songs, and it wasn't bad at all. Because the album before that, I heard a couple songs, and I was like, this is not good. Mm-hmm. But this Dilemma song was actually really good.
I have to listen to it.
Surfboard, I did listen to American Cheese. Is that what it's called?
I think so, yeah.
It's not bad. I listened to it more. Like, the first time I listened to it, I was like, that's cool. Surfboard. Wasn't blown away or anything. Listened to it a couple more times, and I do like it. I'm still not blown away, but I'm
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Sir Chloe put out a new album.
Did you listen to the new
song?
I really liked
it, yeah.
So good.
Did
you like it? So I follow her on Instagram.
Oh, she's weird.
Oh, super weird. Yeah. She's got like a unibrow, but it's like makes it work. She's kind of hot.
Yeah.
Like, but she's just insane.
She has like an upside down triangle. I think it's part of the way she shoots herself all the time.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I like do like the new song. It's really good.
Yeah. And that brings me to one other thing to review that we'll talk about. And it's kind of what fucked me up for a little deep sea dive when I said I ran out of time.
Yeah.
About a month ago, Queens of the Stone Age announced a concert film, Alive in the Catacombs. And they went down into the catacombs of Paris and they recorded like 5 songs. They technically did 6, but they cut one.
Mm-hmm.
It came out June 5th.
Yeah.
And I bought it, $10. I also, there's like a documentary, a mini doc.
Yeah.
And coincidentally, he was on WTF with Marc Maron, which is where the picture of unrecognizable Josh Homme, where he's all trimmed up and he's just
like, who is this grandpa?
Yeah, I was like, I don't recognize it.
And then I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah. Indulge me as I pull out
your readers.
I'm at a point where I have readers in every room.
Well, why don't you just wear glasses like I do?
Because I'm not a nerd. Because I don't want to get yelled at the eye doctor.
No.
I do have glasses, but they don't help.
Sick of being called a nerd.
Poindexter.
Herbert.
Why don't you go pocket protect your pocket protector? Anyway. So, Alive in the Catacombs. It's in black and white.
Mm.
Or no, it's not in black. A lot of it, some of it's in black and white. It's shot almost like a French art film.
Okay.
It's just them performing with mostly acoustic instruments. I think the one exception is they have an electric piano. And they're largely just playing in a long hall. So it's like kind of they're just hanging out, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all the members of the band and two violinists. There's some other traditional instrumentation,
mm-hmm.
like they're playing like actually a long stand-up bass and all that, and they play, like I said, 5 songs. They do it starts out with Josh Homme just laying on a grave and starting to sing like acoustically, and before the instruments kick in, and mm-hmm. it's kind of, he's just, like, he's just walking through and stuff. It's pretty spooky. The first song is Running Joke / Paper Mache off of Era Vulgaris and In Times New Roman, respectively. Calopsia, which is off of Like Clockwork.
That's what I was going to say. I'm like the red like album with the...
Yeah. Villainous Circumstance. Suture Your Future, which is the one that fucking... I was say bangs.
Bangs.
The closest big. I Never Come is the finale.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, they recorded this lullaby, but cut it.
Where did you see it on?
QueensOfStoneAge.com. It's this really cool thing. They talk about how they thought it'd be really echoey, but it's the opposite. Like, between the skulls and the walls, it just sucks all the sound up. But what's kind of interesting more is, one, they literally spent 20 years trying to do this. I think, and Josh Homme in the Marc Maron interview said, he's like, it took 18 years. He's like, by 18 years, we've been trying to do this for 18 years, and we would hit roadblocks.
Yeah.
And probably the first band to ever legally record down there.
That's pretty cool.
The other interesting thing, and some of this is in the documentary and some of it Josh said, if you recall in 2024, they kept canceling shows.
Yeah.
And eventually they canceled
in Europe. I think it was more European.
In Europe. Yeah. And Josh, eventually, like, they ended the tour early so he could fly home for surgery. What's interesting is the timing of that relative to this. So even when we saw Queens last year, remember he says, I'm not feeling too good tonight, but it's such a lovely night, whatever.
Yeah.
He was having issues through the whole thing. Apparently he had some sepsis when he had... Jesus. So he had cancer. He had surgery to remove the cancer. He also says, I don't talk about the surgery.
Yeah.
But he's like, I was skiing with my brother and I just coughed up like red yellow.
Oh, Jesus.
And that's how he knew he had cancer. Shit. What was I talking? So yeah, he had surgery. He had like some sepsis. He had some complications because of the surgery. There's another podcast. I think it's Neil Brennan's Blocks podcast that he was on a while ago. That was really good. He might have been institutionalized for depression for a while. I guess Anthony Bourdain dying.
Yeah.
Really fucked him up. Mark Lanegan dying really fucked him up, and then Taylor Hawkins dying really fucked him up. And also getting off meth.
Yeah, I'm sure the getting off meth
helped. Yeah, it did help.
The craziness with Brody Dalley.
Yeah, the craziness, yeah, with Brody. The increasing craziness with... The show, two shows before they were scheduled to record Live in the Catacombs, or Live in the Catacombs, I hope it's Live in the Catacombs and not Alive in the Tombs or something. Anyway, I'll correct it.
Now. Yeah.
They cancel the show and he gets driven to the emergency room in Milan.
Uh-huh.
And he ends up, like, leaving AMA to make the next show. And I guess he calls his tour manager. He's like, yeah, and I'm, like, leaving, and I'm sneaking out and in my hospital gown. And he plays a show, and he records in the catacombs. I think they play one more show, and then that's when they cancel the tour. He's in such pain that, like, he's laying on a cot in between songs. And at one point, they all go up to eat lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, I'm just going to sleep here. Because I don't have the energy to go up and stuff. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, yeah, we kind of want him to cancel this because he's in such fucking pain. But we know he won't. So he was super fucked up. It was like the worst he was before he flew home. And then the end of the documentary is him in the hospital. And he's like, if you're seeing this, I'm dead. I didn't make it. He's like, just kidding. I made it. And he's like, he's just talking and talking. And at the end, he's like, yeah, I'm a fucking met. What's your excuse? So it's really good. It's like, it's, and I watched it and I ended up watching it again. And that would have cut into a review right in time.
Okay. I'm interested in watching that.
It's really good. Yeah. Both really good. And he did reveal in the WTF that they're recording a new album right now.
Sweet. Can't wait. I watched a movie. Oh. Were you done with your...
I'm done. Yeah, good. One more thing I'll bring up really quick, but yeah. Just.
I watched a movie called,
It's called Fuck.
It's called Fuck.
Is it some French New Wave film?
It is. It's avant-garde.
It is called Fuck.
About fucking.
It
was in an adult theater.
I'll say, while we're talking about Kids in the Hall,
mm-hmm.
You know what a good Kids in the Hall sketch is?
What?
Sex Girl Patrol.
I don't remember that.
It's this French director talking about his movie Sex Girl Patrol, and it's just, they're like, three of the kids play, like, Sex Girl Patrol, and they're like, they use the power of sex, and then Kevin McDonald is Sex Boy.
Oh, God. I don't know if I remember this or not.
And then towards the end, just a gorilla comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing is, Mark McKinney is, like, a French New Age director. He's like, and I defended the monkey! And that's the part I like, yeah.
Kids in the Hall. Yeah, Blue and I were talking about a sketch showed Val.
I didn't realize we were talking about that on camera. Like, anyway, so this movie.
Bring Her Back.
Yeah.
So I think it's the people that did Talk to Her or something. That was like a pretty big movie.
Was it Don't Follow or Don't Look Back?
Okay. But it's called Talk. Here. Bring Her Back. Let me go to IMDb.
It Follows?
I don't think it's It Follows. No. Bring
Her Back. Is it because it has It Follows vibes from the
poster? Not really at all. Sorry for taking forever. No. Talk to Me. Did you see Talk to Me? I heard that was scary as shit.
Yeah,
it's about didn't see it. So Bring Her Back, I guess, is these directors. What's their names? Danny Philippou and his brother or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So Bring Her Back. These two kids.
Yeah.
One I presume is adopted. I don't know if they were both adopted.
Uh-huh.
And she has like vision problems. Can't really see. Walks with a cane. And like she's like, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
13, 14, yeah. And then the brother's like 17. Their dad ended up dying.
Oh.
And they go to this foster home, and it's like all this fucked up shit happened. Right. So anyway, I don't want to ruin it, although we won't have it for a while. So they go to this foster home.
Yeah.
And the lady that is fostering them, her daughter died.
Uh-huh.
And she's been watching all these weird VHS like cult things to try to bring her back. Like they, so like, and all this fucked up shit happens. Uh-huh. But the whole time, they kind of dance around, they're gonna murder this girl.
All right, yeah.
And like, that's like a big no-no you don't do in films. But at the same time, like when you see it, you're like, holy shit.
Oh, wow.
Like it's either done really well or really not well.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, holy shit, are they gonna do it? Blah, blah, blah. There's one kid that she, like, abducts or takes in called Oliver, and, like, he is a fantastic character. There's a lot of just build-up. You're just waiting. And, like, it wasn't really going anywhere to a point. Like, I was somewhat entertained, but I'm like, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. So we're in the theater, and Val looks up the end. Yeah. And then she was just like, they don't kill the kid. Let's go.
Oh, wow.
So we just left with 10 minutes left in the video. Or the movie. But what pissed me off, everyone said they really liked it, and it really, like, kind of set up well.
Uh-huh.
But the end, just, like, it was just like, oh, I decided not to kill her. But it was okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would recommend it. I'd be interested to see what you thought.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, as I said, it was, like, A24, I think, is the production company. There's some really good things to it, but at the same time, I just feel like it was a build-up that if I did wait and was like, oh, my God, like, this just ended like this. Come on. They kill off some characters that you don't think is going to happen, and that kind of, like, pissed me off. But ultimately, what they were, like, that you thought might happen didn't happen.
Oh.
So I wonder if they, like, made them cut it. Maybe. I don't know.
Everything comes on, like, streaming so quickly now.
Yeah.
I might check it out. I actually have, like, Skidamarink I'm finally going to watch. Mm.
I have not watched it. I heard it was pretty good, but...
Yeah. One last thing really quick, because I thought of this. So, a while ago, Netflix made The Electric State.
Mm-hmm.
Which is... I think it's the most expensive thing they ever made. It's not very good. It's basically a family movie... made by the Russo brothers.
Okay.
The Uber premise is they invent robots in the 50s, and they look like cartoony 50s robots.
Okay.
Skip ahead X amount of years, and they're like, they invent this technology that lets you spend part of your time in a robot's head, and everyone's on, like, the internet and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And coincidentally, it's basically, that's the backdrop, and it's this woman, this robot shows up. Oh, there's a war with the robots, and the robots get, like, exiled and shit. But basically, it's a story about a woman, like a teenager, looking for her brother, her actual brother, because a robot shows up one day that is basically possessed by her robot and is like, you have to go save him.
Mm-hmm.
So, not good. Someone, oh, it was a YouTube channel called Amanda the Jedi that I like.
Mm-hmm.
The last couple of things they've done by themselves have been, like, kind of shit.
Hmm.
And I think Amanda did comment, she's like, at this point, if I was a first-time author and I saw the Russo brothers went to option my book, I'd be scared.
Mm.
But she's like, read the book. The book is really good.
Interesting.
So I bought the book. It's weird. It's like a series of paintings and then paragraphs.
Hmm.
It is really fucking dark and has none of the cutesy. It's basically society has crumbled and people are just super addicted to this internet thing.
Yeah.
They're sort of starting to form group minds and... these robots are getting...
kind of interesting.
It's really... like, the book is really worth reading. The movie is trash, but...
I will write down. I'm interested in... I haven't been reading as much. Still reading my Eel book.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a nerd. Not a nerd.
I'm going to tell you what I'm reading. It's the nerdiest nerd shit ever. Dungeon Crawler Carl.
Oh.
I will talk about it. We got a couple of minutes.
Okay.
We got a couple minutes. So I saw a co-worker, not Rainbow Kitten Surprise, a different one, was like, you should read, who knows everybody, he's like, you should read this Dungeon Crawler Carl. And she told me the premise. I was like, this sounds fucking stupid.
Yeah.
It's like, no, trust me. The premise is aliens come to Earth and they turn Earth into an 18-level dungeon, and it's a TV show called Dungeon World.
Okay.
And Carl is the main character. He enters the dungeon. He's, like, in his bathrobe. He's just wearing, like, his, like, underwear and stuff. It's him. And the other main character is his cat, Princess Donut, who is a show cat. She becomes, like, hyper-intelligent, but she's really snotty. It's, like, snobbish. And I've been devouring these books like no one's business. It has, like, real... take it back. We'll bookend it with Play D&D. It has, like, really, like, weird player logic, but it's also, like... there's a character in the group who's the disembodied head of a sex doll who just is like, I'll kill your mother! I'll fuck your mother! And all those wacky characters. So I've been nuts deep in that shit.
I do have one last thing.
Yeah?
So, I've been watching a lot of Rick and Morty.
Yes.
I don't remember if I was talking about it last time. No. So, like, and Lou's been talking about... Just, go ahead, sorry.
I was like, we coincidentally restarted watching Rick and Morty, but go ahead, sorry.
And, like, yeah, Lou's been watching Rick and Morty forever. So I've been recently watching it in the last maybe 6 months or so. Mm-hmm. So I've always seen the producer written by, like, Rob Schrab or something, and I'm like, why does this name sound familiar? And I was like, I'm not going to Wikipedia because I'm old school, and I...
Yeah.
Is that the guy that did Scud, the Disposable Assassin, which... If you know who that is, like, you... So, I go in Wiki, and I, like, lose my shit. I'm like, holy shit! I'm, like, elbowing down. I'm like, oh, my God, this comic book, Scud, and she has no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So, I text Lou at, like, 11 o'clock, knowing he's going to be asleep. Amazed that I pulled that out of my ass. And it makes a lot of sense, because that's, like, I loved Scud, and it was, like, a very... I want to say a very early indie, but it was, like, kind of...
It was in...
Earlier back in the day, it was, like, mid-90s.
Yeah, so it was indie before, like, indies was were cool, still... Was
cool, kind of, like...
Yeah.
Apparently he voices some shit too.
Oh really?
Yeah, I don't know who, but
I'll say it was an indie comic at the era when if you wanted to do anything that wasn't a superhero or horror comic, it had to be an indie comic.
Yeah. So it was like very interesting. And it came out, it was probably around the same time as Tank Girl.
Yeah, I mean
probably Tank Girl was a little before, but
That's like the perfect era of
yeah,
it.
Yeah. So I was totally proud of myself for picking up on that. And I like totally geeked out.
Yeah, I'd say if you know Scud the Disposable Assassin, you probably heard that Garbage B-Sides album because it's playing on loop.
Yes, 100%.
No, this is good. We did like an hour. Yay.
Yay.
All right, everybody. I won't lie to you and say we're going to try to get these out.
Hopefully, though, it'd be a little more.
I might do like a mini one just to get rid of some of the... Terror the people who send us songs. Yeah. I feel bad.
It's my bad. I've just been going through a lot of stuff. So. Yeah.
But until then, Soshes...
Later.
See you soon. Bye.